And it is 5:30 on KQSS, and we have Tim Humphrey with us in studio. And how are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing well, Raleigh. How are you doing?
Well, I'll tell you, I should have looked at this earlier. We had a power hit the other day, and everything was off. So right now, it's a wonder we're on. But we are.
Well,
and,
good.
And we have an entire half hour, and I understand at some point Al Gameros is going to join us.
He is. And you know what you might do is you might give somebody your call, the call-in number.
Absolutely.
Because they're probably sitting there right now just waiting to call us.
That's right. I know you are. By the phone. And that would be 888-876-5593-8888-ROLLYE. And of course, this is the monthly meeting of District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey on KQSS. We are live on Monday, July 10th for the next half hour, and this will replay Sunday morning on KJAA, and it will also be online available in perpetuity at KQSS.net.
Well, good. Yeah. It's a great relationship with both mayors, Mayor Gameros and Mr. Mayor Medina in Miami.
Uh-huh.
And so last month we had a caller asking some questions about what was going on with the bridge at Connie's and the pool. So I talked to Mayor Gameros and he said, sure, I'll be happy to do an update. And so he is. And then when we're done here, then I'm going to go to the Town of Miami Council meeting. So it's a good bunch of guys right now because everybody gets along and everybody's working for the community. So it's a good environment and we're getting some things done. So it's great to have that relationship with both mayors.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Mayor Gameros is going to be calling in a little bit and kind of do an update on some of the things that are going on. And you said that he may do a monthly show with you.
Well, he was mentioning that. And yeah, I'll get in touch with him and we'll schedule it. And hopefully we'll have him on directly after you to find out what's going on in Globe.
Well, good. Well, to catch up with the county a little bit, our brush crew is in the area of like Daybreak. And they're working towards Six Shooter Canyon. We're still trying to do some brushing, but the Department of Correction workers that work with us on our brush crew, I didn't know there was a lockdown or something because right now we don't have any of the crew coming out. But as soon as they do, that's kind of where we're working on. The roads are being patched around Claypool. We're cleaning out some drainages on Adams Street. Then they're going to head over to Russell and clean out some drainages there because we've got some issues with some of that, hopefully before the monsoons get upon us.
Really. And at this point, we're also very concerned about fire. We touched on this last meeting, and it's just vital that people clean up their yards.
It is. Because there's been some pretty major fires, and I'm not sure the cause, but a lot of that is these, you know, all of these areas with weeds and stuff and people that have these abandoned yards and stuff. It's really been difficult.
It is. Yeah.
And we work hard on trying to keep a lot of these up, but a lot of the people are out of town, and some of them have even deceased. We've talked about this in the past. And so we do what we can, but it's important that the people that are capable of cleaning up their places to do so.
Right, and to understand that in the horrible event something goes wrong, they're liable. If they're the property owner and their overgrown yard is the reason that another structure caught on fire, that's a liability issue.
Yes, and it is.
So if nothing else, people who are just saying, oh, it doesn't matter, understand that you're on the hook for this. Now, I know in abandoned properties, that's another situation, and in many situations, there's no insurance and no assets, and, you know, I get the reality of that, but nonetheless, the idea that you think you're scot-free on this is just not true. This is a community, and we're all responsible for being part of it.
I agree.
So Mayor Gameros is calling in, and we'll welcome him to KQSS.net. How are you doing, Al?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Yeah, I can't complain. I'm glad you joined us. Tim was mentioning that last month we had a listener call in with some questions that only you could answer.
Yeah,
that's what Supervisor Humphrey told me. Yeah, I'd be happy to share any information that they want to hear.
Well, good, Mayor. If you just... I want to give us an update on like Connie's Bridge, how that's going, and your pool, kind of how that went, and kind of what your plans are looking for that maybe next year, or just any updates that you'd like to share with us. We'd be happy to hear.
You bet. I'll just give you another quick update on Connie's Bridge. It's pretty much on schedule. It is scheduled to be completed at the end of 2023, somewhere about around October, November this year. Right now, it doesn't seem like they're doing much right now, but they have poured, and I don't know how deep they have to be, but they're pouring the footers that have to be inspected and tested. So they're waiting for the test results for that, and then they can start erecting the vertical portions of the bridge. Obviously, as we know, this was when we initially went after quotes for this bridge, that was around COVID time. We were appropriated around $2.8 million from the state coffer. And waiting till COVID was over, that bridge project jumped up to $5 million. So that's how much inflation was with supplies and labor and demand and stuff like that.
Wow.
So we had to do some moving around, some funding and stuff like that. We're able to cover the cost because it needs to get done. We did also just receive appropriations from the state, which we'll be approving tomorrow night, another $650,000 that'll go towards that $5 million, so that we're around $3.5 million, something like that, with us putting in the balance of it. But it'll be a nice bridge. I mean, I've seen the renderings of it. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's going to be a great addition to that, especially with the concerns of the old Connie's Bridge and the deterioration of the structures underneath.
Right. Yeah, and there's a lot of people out that canyon that use that every day, and with Russell down, that bridge is really important.
You bet, yeah. And one, if it floods out towards Beer Tree Crossing, you know, and then we have a failure at Connie's, and then there's no access to that area for anyone, for people that live out there, for emergency personnel, stuff like that. And,
right.
You know, you got a lot of traffic with a college out there, too, so that it's important, it's vital that we keep that open.
It is.
Or upgrade the bridge.
It is. And the pool, Mayor, has that been a success for you? You're learning a lot about being in the pool business now that this is open with stuff?
Yeah, I think this first year is going to be a learning experience for our staff. Obviously, we all understand that we had a lot of stakeholders that made it possible, the county being one, hospital and, you know, the city and other. There was other, the mines that made this facility. You know, when it first started, you know, we had the push for an aquatic center, and they did an amazing job, the group did, but it just wasn't, it did get to a point where you had the funding to keep the operation maintenance going on an annual basis. So some of us went down to the legislature and testified trying to get a taxing district between the at the southern Gila in the southern part of county, mm-hmm. Gila County, and it was unsuccessful 2 years in a row. So that plays a big part.
Sure.
You know, we're budgeting O&M, operation and maintenance right now. Our next year's budget with the city is we're going to put about $280,000. It isn't cheap to run a pool, but it's vital to the community for recreational purposes. So it was kudos to all the partners that came in to make the facility happen.
Yeah.
At $5 million, $5.5 million cost. I mean, I think it's amazing. And we still have more projects to add to it. Those will be phase two and phase three as more funding comes in, but we have committed as a city to take care of the operation and maintenance cost of it.
So for
right now we've seen about 400 participants a day. We've hired around 13 lifeguards, which is amazing because it's hard to get lifeguards, so we're hoping to add to that in the future.
So right now, the pool hours for the public are noon to 5, 7 days a week, correct?
Yeah, yes, ma'am. They're 12 to 5, and they're also on weekends, though. They've been starting at 2 at Saturday because they had a couple of swim meets. The Piranha swim team has hosted three swim meets, and we brought in Coolidge and Eloy, so they enjoyed the facility also, which is amazing because in the past, the Piranhas have only been allowed 10 swimmers because they were using the country club, and the pool is much smaller. This year, there are around 80 participants in the Piranha Swim Team.
How great that is for the young folks.
And how long is the season? When is it complete this year?
The season, I think they have a couple more meets, and they'll be going to state, and the state finals will be held in Florence. They have completed their swim meets here, the ones that we have scheduled.
And the pool.
So now it'll go back to normal hours, 12 to 5 on the weekend on Saturday.
And the pool hours, the pool season for the general public, when will it close?
You know, we don't know yet because this is also a heated facility. It's a heated pool.
Oh, that's terrific.
So we'll be able to extend it. We don't know how long. We're hoping, I think the high school swim season starts in like September.
Uh-huh.
So we're hoping that they develop a swim team for not only for Miami, but for Globe, and they use a facility all up until October, maybe even to November.
No, that'd be terrific. The other thing is in the summer months when it's late, it's daylight until like 7:30, is there any plans to keep that pool open longer than 5 o'clock in the future?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to talk to our pool manager for that, Eric Bowman, who's done an excellent job. But I don't know. You know, I know people have asked if there's an opportunity to run some, like, aerobic swim classes in there. And we're open to all this. If people step up, if we have somebody that'll actually do it. I know that some groups have already booked it for August for private parties. So it is open for private parties, and there's a... You can call Eric Bowman, and he has all the costs for that also.
And how can he be reached?
He can be reached at City Hall, and that's 425-7146. And
okay.
Just, I don't know if he has a heading on there, but go to the operator and ask for Eric's office.
Okay, terrific. Yeah, the reason I asked about later hours is not only for increased ability to swim, but for many people in the heat of summer when it's 100 degrees in the day, by around 5, it starts to cool off a little. People are thinking, well, 5 to 7, that'll be perfect. It's still daylight. And then you discover, gee, the pool's closed. So I was thinking maybe that's something to consider for general swimmers.
You bet. That's a good question, and it's something I'll follow up on. I don't know if they have plans for that. Again, it comes back to having the availability of lifeguards. That's a big key to it, too. And then kids going back to school, it's going to be a little more difficult to maintain the amount of lifeguards that we currently have.
Yeah, most of them are school age, aren't they, Mayor?
Yes, yeah. A lot of them are high school age, college age kids. And so we'll see how many, you know, when school starts, we'll see how many we have left in the process there.
Right. Or this is an opportunity to reach out if anybody that's not going back to school might be interested in doing a private party or something, you know, after hours or something of that nature.
You bet. Yeah. That would be great. Yeah. This is a testing year for us.
Sure.
And hopefully we should be more proficient next year, and more prepared, I guess. But it's an amazing facility. We still have to add the concession stand. We have all the infrastructure there. We're going to put a commercial stove in it, and then the area that's to the left as you walk in, where there's an awning, that's going to be enclosed in glass. Where you can have private properties or private parties in there also.
Now, I had read where in June there was no fee. Have we started a fee for the public, or is that still free right now?
No, it's free this whole season.
All right.
Charging this season. We passed a resolution to go ahead and allow everybody to swim for free. And when it does open to cost, which will be next year, I think it's $1 for a child and $2 for adult, I think is what it's going to be.
Yeah, which is reasonable. Well, that's great for a free season.
You bet, yes. Because you know what? We delayed it with COVID and with everything else.
Yeah.
We felt that the community deserved it. We had all the stakeholders and partners that contributed to the construction of it. You know, it's only right that we allow them to swim free.
So how crowded is it on the average day now?
Well, they're getting about 400 swimmers a day, and they're off and on. So I think they can allow up to 150 to 200 in there. Again, that depends on the amount of lifeguards they have. They have to maintain a ratio of 1 to 30, I think it is, 1 to 40.
Okay.
So as long as they have the lifeguards, they'll allow more in there. There may be a waiting line, but a lot of people go for an hour or two, a couple hours. They don't stay the full time, and
then
we're able to rotate people in and out.
Well, great.
Well, good, man. Is there anything else that you'd care to update us on that's going on within the city that I don't have much information on?
Well, there's so many projects, man. I'd like to spend an hour talking about. There's so much federal funding coming through that some that we've been appropriated and awarded. I think the big one, and this has been a partnership with the county, we've been after for a couple of years, to a sidewalk project from the new Connie's Bridge all the way to tie into where the college sidewalk is at. This year, we just, and we're going to accept that tomorrow night, we were awarded $3.5 million to complete that project, appropriations from the state, and it'll be an IGA with Arizona Department of Transportation.
Now, I've noticed the old school building that's kind of across from Nerdburger there. That's the only landmark I know on Highway 60. Looks like there finally is a lot of construction in earnest on that. What's that going to be? How's it going?
Well, it's going, it's just, I mean, they're moving quickly.
Yeah.
They're doing all the abatement right now. They're doing all the, removing all the interior. It looks better with the windows out of it, actually.
I agree. I noticed that today. I thought, you know, this is an improvement. But is it going to be senior housing ultimately, or what's the deal?
That is a senior affordable housing facility. It'll have 64 units in it. This will be the Gorman Company out of Tempe that's doing the project. It's a $22 million project, and the only way they made it happen is that we had to work hard to try and get them approved, you know, their planning, zoning, design, and everything, and they were able to build that with a 9% tax credit that goes to the project. So they're going to utilize the current building, and they're going to add a second building, and it'll be connected with an elevator in between.
Oh, wow.
So,
now, is the second building going to be where the vacant parking lot is now?
Yes, it'll be kind of an L-shaped, and,
okay.
And if you look outside Nerdburger, where that area is right there, that'll be like a little courtyard where they can sit out there, and it'll have a grass area and trees and stuff like that, and that'll face Nerdburger.
Good.
That'll have about the same amount of units in it, too, won't it, Mayor?
What's that?
That second building will have about 64... Or is that the total project of the living units?
Yeah, the total will be 64 units.
Yeah.
So it'll be about 30 housing, 30 of them in each one. And that project is slated to be completed in the later part of 2024. That's about an 18-month project, and they're moving pretty quick on it. And I think it'll add a, you know, it'll add, I mean, that building is such an amazing building, but it was such an eyesore for an entryway to our historic downtown area. So it's going to make it more attractive in that block right there.
Oh, absolutely. And the housing is certainly needed. I assume that no one can apply as yet, but hopefully long before it's complete, application process will start for people who want to move in.
You bet. Yeah. I don't think they've started now, but that'll all be through the Gorman. And we went and visited their facilities down in Tempe, and they have some amazing facilities. It's not a shoddy building, and they keep up. It's the maintenance on it, and the attractiveness is maintained throughout whatever the lifetime of the building, too.
Wow, and you're mentioning it's about a $22 million project?
Yes, $22 million.
Well, I say, because you know that building stood vacant for so long and was available for so cheap that many of us drove by and thought, boy, I'd like to buy this and renovate it. And I had said to John, I said, you know, that's millions of dollars. Well, I didn't know it was 22 of them, but I can see how that would happen.
Well, and you know, and we've been meeting, and our economic development team has been meeting with many investors or developers that wanted to come in and do different things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about the money.
Oh, of course
it is. You can do
whatever
you want, but you have to have the money in order to the backing and the investments in order to make it happen.
Right. Well, the money, and then in some areas of town, if there's not an existing structure, it's also a question of the infrastructure. Is there water and all those things as well?
You bet. Yeah, you bet. And a lot of our areas in the floodplain, flood zone, and Tim knows that also, you know. So it's difficult to find property where you can build, where you don't have to go through all this, you know, the process where you're restricted also on what you can.
Right. Yeah. So this will be a good addition. Looking forward to seeing it.
Oh yeah, you bet. And there'll be more to come. There is more that we're in the process of working with. It's taking time, but it'll happen. I think we have a lot more coming in the future here.
Well, great.
Mayor, it's great to work with you and see all the infrastructure that's being created over the last few years. It's really making a change with all the infrastructure. So it's great working with you on some of these projects and hope we just keep adding to the infrastructure for the community.
You bet, and that's what it takes. It takes people working together. You know, we can't all do it. We can't all afford it as one entity. We need to work together to make things happen in all aspects.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tim, if you have no further questions, I will excuse Mayor Gomeros from the meeting.
Mayor, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for having me on. It was a pleasure. And anytime, you know, if you want to, I can give a rundown of many, many more projects in the future there.
Well, we'll be in touch to get to kind of corral you into doing a half hour a month as well. So, be prepared. All right. Thank you, Al.
Thank you.
All right. So, how nice.
And so you got five callers waiting?
Yeah, really. The only way we're going to get five callers waiting is if we go out and grab them off the street, and I'm not sure that's going to work. But as you discovered, because you had mentioned, we did have the one lady who called about the Connie's Bridge last month, but in addition to that, you had calls at the office as well. So the bottom line is, don't be shy. Don't worry. Nobody's listening. That's 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh, or maybe everybody's listening and they'll be delighted to hear from you.
Right. Yeah. We'd like to hear from you and hear what you have going. And Dollar Dump Day, our dump is are about ready to reopen on the
really?
On the new part of it. I ask, and there's not going to be a Dollar Dump Day this month. There wasn't going to be, and August is questionable, but it should be back in September, almost positive. And the reason being is because we have to be approved by ADEQ, and I was told that the end of this month is when the paperwork goes into ADEQ for approval. And if they approve, hopefully we'll get done by the second Saturday of August, but if not, at least the second weekend of September. So that's what's going on with the landfill, and it's been a long process of getting our expansion completed. But it'll be a lot nicer with the two way scales. You don't have to use the same one in and out. There's two different scales, so one away in and another one away out. So that'll work well. And before I run out of time, I just want to throw a couple things out there. I got a note from Eli Crane's office, and his staff is going to have a meeting in Miami on July the 25th from 10 a.m. to 1, and that will be at the Miami Memorial Library. And you can discuss with his staff concerns you may have about federal, state, or district issues.
All right.
So if you would like to meet our congressman's staff, they're coming to Miami on July 25th, 10 to 1, at the Memorial Library.
Good.
And then also, too, a project that Gila County's been working on forever, pretty much started out with Supervisor Klein, is the Pleasant Valley Veterans Retreat, which was a forestry a building and office and everything out there, kind of like our Forest Service out Six Shooter Canyon. They had one in Pleasant Valley and they abandoned it. And so Supervisor Klein's been working on that, and all of us have been working on it. And so anyway, its grand opening is going to be on July the 15th, which is a Saturday.
That's this Saturday.
Yeah, from 11 to 3. And it's also Pleasant Valley Days, which young every year they have Pleasant Valley Days, and they have a lot of vendors, a lot of things going on. And so it's not that far away. It's a little cooler up there than it is here. So if you wanted to do something different, you could go up to Pleasant Valley Days and see all the things that are going on for Pleasant Valley Days, as well as take a look at the new veterans retreat. Yeah. We put an awful lot of time, energy, and effort in it, and it, and it's doing well. And there's already veterans groups wanting to get it scheduled so that they can come up and spend time there. There was a one motorcycle group that ride to heal, something of that nature, and they've already booked some time up there. So it's a great place. It's really pretty, and I'm so happy that we were able to get it and turn it into a veterans retreat rather than just bulldoze it down and let it go back to nothing.
So. And for people who don't know, where exactly is it? How do you get there? See, now look
Young
at this.
Arizona.
Tim's getting calls. You're not calling me, but Tim's getting calls.
I'm getting calls.
Yeah, so where exactly is it?
It is Pleasant Valley Veterans Retreat, and it is 154 South Ranger Station Road in Young, Arizona.
All right. And Young's an interesting drive. Not paved all the way, but that's all right.
Yeah, you just got to maybe watch out for deer and elk and turkeys and things like that as you ease up there. And it's like I say, there'll be a lot of activity up there because I think the Pleasant Valley days are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Perfect.
And the Veterans Retreat grand opening is on the 15th.
Saturday.
Open house. Yeah, you can go look through all of the, and they have some neat newly constructed or refurbished living quarters and things of that nature, but they've also got a house or two that are antiques, mm-hmm. and they left them that way. So so anyway, if you want to do something over the weekend, that might be something you can do. And then if you've got some things to bring up to your congressman, his staff will be in Miami.
Yeah, I like that. That's great.
Yeah, Lori Mills is one of the people, and I spoke with her today, and she's been to several of my public meetings, and I had a public meeting at Roosevelt today at 1:00. And like I say, then I'm gonna go over to Miami Town Hall here for their 6:30 meeting, and so. Anyway, it's all good, Raleigh. We just try to stay busy and see what we need to do and work on things we need to. And I guess everybody's happy because nobody called in to complain.
That's right. And, you know, if you don't get your complaints in, well, whatever's going on will continue to be going on. The only way to change it is to speak out. Because like you mentioned with code enforcement, it works on a complaint basis. There's no way that it can go around and monitor it individually, so that requires you to speak up, whether it's on this show or whether it's by phone.
And it doesn't happen overnight because everybody has their rights. And so in code enforcement and things of that nature, it takes a while because we have to give the people the opportunity to be respectful and do what they should. And if they don't, then we go to a hearing officer. And so it can take a couple months. So if you wait a couple months to call, then you're 4 or 5 months away instead of 30 or 60 days.
That's it, absolutely it, yes.
But anyway, Raleigh, I thank you very much for your time.
Always. It's great to see you. And we'll do it again next month. I don't have the schedule in front of me. I should, but I don't. But I know it's a Monday in August, and I bet you Tim will
maybe.
Tim
let
will
me,
know
let
which
me
one.
See if I can pull my phone up here.
Yeah.
Let's go. Okay. It is going to be August. Let's see.
Is it like a 17th or something?
August. How about August 14th?
August 14th, Monday, August 14th, Monday.
August 14th.
So that's at 5:30.
And so that gives you plenty of notice to think about something that you'd like to ask about or tell me about, and write it down and put it next to the phone so in August you can call.
Yeah, we'll drag out the beef box and get you to stand on it. All right. And a big John
can,
I mentioned that earlier, but I will again. Yes, this wonderful show will replay Sunday morning at 8:00 on 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. And it will be available later in the week in perpetuity at kqss.net. And there's a link right on the homepage, so that's easy to find. All right, Tim, well, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You too.
It's country and more, Nila 101.9.